You may be seated. Grief can visit us like the gray rain clouds that bring the rain. We see it coming, we see it, but it's always a surprise when we feel the moisture touching our skin. It's always a surprise. We see it coming, and yet it catches us. I want to tell you a story about grief. There was a man named James, and James was a man of few words, but you could tell by the way he carried himself that he was also a man of sorrow. You could see it in the way he walked. And these were sorrows that he tried to drown every day of his life. He would walk uptown, up to Main Street, to a bar, to drown as best he could those sorrows. It wasn't far. There he'd walk up to Main Street from what had then become his tattered home. And he was no longer allowed to drive a car because of the drink. He'd walk up there, and nobody knew where he got the money to go and buy his beverages. And yet, the people who lived by him would see him come home night after night, staggering, an exaggerated, drunken stagger, and the front of his pants were often wet. His stagger was so wide and so exaggerated that the local kids who lived along his route would follow him, and they would imitate it and kind of laugh at him, and most of the time he had no idea they were there. But on occasion, James would turn around, notice them, and grumble some drunken word at them, and off they'd run. And then off James would go, staggering the rest of the way home. Home, where he was alone. Home, where his wife used to be. A wife so beautiful to him that even then he would look at her picture on the wall and his eyes would redden. But she died a decade before. And then to medicate himself through the grief, that's when James started drinking more and more. James and his wife had a daughter. Her name is Emily. And Emily was just as beautiful, if not more so, than her mother. And on the one-year anniversary of James's wife's passing, Emily and James decided to maybe go for a walk around a favorite park of theirs and share a few stories. They'd heard it's good for grief when you do something like that. Now James, he was prone to anger. He would explode into these fits of words and anger, even when his wife was alive. And the stuff he'd say it, and then he'd say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. But the words came, and they hurt. They hurt his wife. And they hurt Emily, his daughter. He said things to Emily, his own girl, that made her cry. And that frayed their relationship. But nonetheless, Emily decided, even though the relationship was a little frayed, that she would show up at that park that they decided on, and they would go for their walk, and they would share as best they could memories of her mother. And so Emily got there, and she waited, and she waited, and James never came. Emily stayed there, and soon the sun started to set, and then she just decided, well, maybe I'll go for a walk anyway and process some of this stuff. And sure enough, right when she decided to stand up, in comes her father, roaring into the parking lot in his Jeep, and he parks haphazardly between two stalls. He jumps out, and he looks at Emily, and he says, I know you think I'm a failure. I know you think it's my fault that your mother died. And I know you think it's my fault that you're depressed because she died. I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to see you and remember her. With that, Emily left. Something in her heart just snapped. She had to leave, and off she went. Off she went into the years and years and years of not seeing her father ever again, not giving him a phone call. She drifted into her life, and he drifted deeper into the bottle. Years later, Emily had fallen in with some Christian friends of hers. And these friends had told her about their faith, how much the peace that Jesus brings, how much the mercy and the grace of God meant to them personally. And Emily, they went to Sunday school, they went to church here and there, but it never really meant anything to her. Not until these friends spoke into her life, and she knew, she just knew when she heard about the peace that Jesus brings, she knew deep in her core that she needed that message. And there was a Sunday where Emily and her friends and then her new boyfriend, Eli, went to church. And that Sunday, they heard a reading from 2 Corinthians 5, and Emily, as she heard it, it was just like her life had been primed to hear this message. It read, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Emily felt those words deep in her heart. She knew the source. She knew this mercy that Jesus had brought into her life. And she knew and she embraced, more so, she was embraced by the story of God's love for her. And yet on that Sunday, she could not stop thinking about her father. And this time it was the good kind of thinking, not the rageful, vengeful, I just want him to disappear kind of thinking. This thinking was like, it was like she felt compelled to go visit him. And yeah, she felt like she should have visited him in the past, but she never let herself do it. And on that Sunday, she started to think of her father differently. She had come to know herself as a daughter of God because of Jesus' cross and Jesus' tomb. She knew that peace. And now all she could think of was her father. And she imagined him just lonely, alone. And she would not know. I mean, she'd never talked with him in all these years. And so after church, Emily got in her car, Eli with her, and they drove for 4 hours back to her hometown, back to where her father was living. And as they drove over that final hill, dropping down into where the old place was, they saw James walking up the road. He was filthy. And his jacket was frayed, filthy also, but it had holes, little holes in the arms. And he had a 10-day-old beard. And he looked like he hadn't showered in just as long. Emily pulled over onto the side of the road, and she just sat there for a second. And James kept walking. He didn't raise his eyes, didn't look their direction at all. He was on his way to the bar. Emily got out. And even then, James did not look up. And so she watched him get closer and closer, and then she said, "Dad? Dad?" James finally looked up, and his face was kind of cocked to the side, like it just, he needed a couple of seconds to register who this was in front of him talking, and then it struck him. Emily? Is that you? "Oh, Dad." Emily ran to her father, and though he was filthy, though he stank, she hugged him. And all of a sudden, so much emotion that was in her heart, the grief, the sorrow, the rage even, just melted into tears. All kinds of emotion spilled from her. And to James's surprise, he started to weep as well, his eyes red with tears. That night, instead of drinking his life away, James went with Emily and Eli to dinner. And at the very end of the dinner, Emily looked her father in the eye and said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I left. I'm sorry I never called. I'm sorry I didn't want to visit you. I'm sorry." And James looked back at her and said, "Oh, Emily, it's not you. I'm sorry. I shouted. I know I said things that I knew would hurt you. I don't know why I said it. I wish I hadn't. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Both of their eyes welled with redness, and they reached out their hands toward one another, and they held one another's hands, and they looked each other in the eye, and they said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." Such is a story of reconciliation, of being compelled by the love God has for you to go into a situation that you might not rather go, and yet you're sent to share of God's love. To share, yes, the love God has for you personally, and to share that same love with these people who you've known to be untrusted, unliked, and yet you've also come to know that they are very loved by God. But do they know it? Do they know that they are loved by God? How do you know? Well, who's going to go and tell them? I mean, I don't want to tell them. I don't like conversations like that. They're awkward. They're hard. And yet, the longer you and I keep company with this Jesus, the more our heart is softened by His grace, by His mercy, by the peace He gives, and our softened hearts, our hearts that have come to know that Jesus became sin, the one who knew no sin at all, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. That Jesus, the peace that He brings, softens our hearts, and sure enough, we will be grafted in to His redemption work. Now, I have no idea where that is going to send you, but I know this: you are an ambassador in the kingdom of God. I do not know who will come knocking on your door. I do not know to whom you should be sent. But together we have heard the message. Be reconciled to God. For God has not counted your sins, your trespasses, your past against you. God is making peace between Himself and the whole world. He is making peace between Himself and you. I invite you, be reconciled to God. Be filled with peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses everything that we can understand, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.